Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. You probably have all heard about gender-neutral Bible translations. Now, this development is ongoing, and more theologians and politicians and others are in support of it. Right now, there is a hot discussion going on in Germany based on comments by the German family minister in an interview she gave to the German newspaper Die Zeit, and the German magazine Der Spiegel wrote about it as follows, and I quote, it's dated December 21, 2012. It says, just in time for Christmas, Germany's conservative family minister Christina Schröder, Marxist conservative family minister Christina Schröder, has sparked a contentious debate about the word most central to the Christian faith, God. In an interview with the weekly newspaper Die Zeit, in which she discussed gender roles in children's literature, Schröder also took on God's gender, and fellow members of her Christian Democratic Union are not impressed. The German language, the magazine explains, has three definite articles for nouns to indicate their gender: der, masculine, die, feminine, and das, neuter. The noun der Gott or God is masculine. But Schröder told Die Zeit that the article for God should not matter. It just could as easily be the gender neutral das Gott, she said, saying the article doesn't mean anything. Now, of course, the reaction by her colleagues was predictable. But the trend is there. Further research reveals that a Bible translation was published in German, Bibel in gerechter Sprache. I would translate that as the Bible in just language. That's a Bible translation from 2006, which was worked on by more than 50 theologians of all kinds of different denominations. Just want to give you a few examples. When it comes to the model prayer, that's how they translate that. You, God, are to us Father and Mother in heaven. Throughout the translation, we found that God is sometimes referred to in the masculine, like der Lebendige, and sometimes in the feminine, like die Heilige. So this is not just limited and restricted to Germany. This is going on all over the place in many Christian circles. The question is, however, what does the Bible say about it? Now, some say, well, that's perfectly all right, because God is a kind of a Twitter, both masculine and feminine. They say God made man in his image, but he made them as man and woman, so therefore it shows that God is not a man. I have heard sermons to the effect that God has breasts like a woman. And on it goes. Some say, well, you know, there is, of course, the Mother of God who is in heaven, and many pray to her. She is not God, but she's part of the God family. We have to understand, my friends, that this motive to create gender-neutral Bibles, or even Bibles like I just explained them to you, are coming from different aspects. It has to do, of course, with the moral equalization, the idea everything is just equal. But it also comes from religious perspectives. You see, many pagan religions have believed in and still do in goddesses, gods and goddesses. And the Bible warns us in the book of Isaiah that especially in our Western world today, there is this terrible obsession and fascination with Far Eastern religions. Now let us look at what the Bible has to say about God. How is God introduced to us in His Word, and what does it have to do with our future, that we understand properly who and what God is? Now, there are many, many passages in the Bible which talk about God as God the Father and God the Son. Of course, the Holy Spirit is a power emanating from both the Father and the Son, but the two persons who are being introduced to us, who are right now comprising the God family, are God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now notice in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 that it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now John the Baptist explains in John chapter 1 and verse 34, I have seen and testified that this Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't say the daughter of God. It doesn't say that our Father, whom we are supposed to pray to, according to Christ's words, is actually our mother, or a combination of the two. Christ is identified many times in the New Testament as the Son of God, prior to his death, prior to his resurrection. We also see from Scripture that Jesus Christ is God. He is the second member of the God family. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, God the Father, and the Word was God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. We also read in many passages that Jesus Christ is the image of God. You might look at Colossians 1 and verse 15 for just one example to show us this. Notice that Christ told his disciple Philip in John 14 and verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son look the same. Now, they are spirit beings. But if they would materialize themselves to our eyes, we would see them as two men. In other words, the Father and the Son, and they look alike in their outward appearance. God is not an it, kind of a blob without form or shape. God has revealed himself many times as somebody with eyes, with arms, with feet, with hair, and so on. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son look the same. Now notice how Jesus Christ manifested himself in his glorified state after his resurrection, when he appeared as a glorified being in a vision to John in the book of Revelation. Read it in Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Here Christ is described as one looking like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, his voice was as the sound of many waters, he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. You see, we read that God created man in his image and after his likeness. So God looks like a man, or better put, man looks like God. Now, of course, God, as I said, is a glorified spirit being. You can't see him. But the time will come when you, once you are a spirit being yourself, will be able to see God the Father and Jesus Christ as they are. Notice in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3 what it means to be created in the image and likeness of another being. There we read about the fact that Adam lived 130 years and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. As Adam's son Seth looked like Adam, so Adam, when God created him, looked like God. That is what is meant with those terms. Now, as I said, some say God created man as men and women, and therefore God looks like a man and a woman. Now, that is not what it says. You see, God created Adam. And out of Adam, he created Eve. So if you please, God created Adam in his image, and Eve then was in the image of Adam. It is true that sometimes characteristics are being used to describe God, like God sometimes is described as a loving mother. But Paul himself describes himself as a loving mother. That didn't make Paul a Twitter. You see, you have to be careful with these analogies. God is clearly revealed to us as the Father. We are supposed to pray to God the Father in heaven, not to God the Mother in heaven. We are supposed to look at Jesus Christ as the elder brother. And Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Notice what the potential is for you and for me. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, tells us, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him, even in the glorified state, for we shall see him as he is. You see, as a human being, you cannot see God in his glorified state as he is. Moses tried to do that, and God told him, you can't do that. You can't look into my face and live. But as spirit beings, when we enter the family of God as God's children, we will be able to see God as he is. And so we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, God is a family, but God is reproducing himself through man. And it is your potential, it is my potential, to become a member of the family of God. Spirit beings, beings in the family of God. Jesus Christ is called our elder brother. As I said, the firstborn among many brethren, we are called the children of God. We are called the sons and daughters of God. We are privileged to call God our Father. In fact, the church is compared with a bride. And Jesus Christ is compared with a bridegroom to marry his church when he returns. Every human being has the potential to be part of that bride, to become part of the family of God. That's why it's so important to understand who and what God is, and that man is created in his image. Both male and female have the potential to become part of the family of God, but that doesn't make God a Twitter. God is a father. Jesus Christ is a son. We are his children. Let's not fool around with scripture. Let's take God's revelation for what it is. God's revelation. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.